Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Cisco Optics Podcast, where we talk about pluggable optics for networks. After you plug the optic into the switch, router, or server, you're not done. You still have to plug in a fiber optic cable. What does this fiber cable infrastructure look like? It's a lot more sophisticated than you might imagine. This is episode 10, and we continue a conversation with Brian Kelly of Panduit. I've worked with Brian for a number of years because Cisco and Panduit have basically the same customers, even though we don't make the same products. Cisco is a network gear provider, and Panduit is a fiber cable infrastructure provider. You need both the hardware and the fiber cable to complete your network. In this second part of our six-part conversation, we hear about various types of cabling in data centers. Brian L. Kelly joined Panduit in 2012. In 2014, he joined corporate R&D as a solution architect. Prior to joining Panduit, he worked for 14 years in the telecommunications and data center co-location industries. Currently, Brian manages Panduit's network architecture team, which develops reference architecture content for the data center and enterprise businesses. In addition, he manages the Panduit Labs network, which provides secure connectivity and resources to their labs in Tinley Park, Illinois. Brian has written well over 20 technical papers that have been published on the Panduit website as well as partner websites. Brian owns a bachelor's degree from Illinois State University and a master's degree in business administration from Keller Graduate School of Management. Now that's what I call experience. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast. It may show up as the Cisco Podcast Network, which has other great podcast series as well. Check out our blog at blogs.cisco.com and search on hashtag Cisco Optics Blog, all one word, no hyphen and no spaces. You'll find podcast notes and links there too. For our YouTube playlist, go to youtube.com and search on Cisco Optics. And for product information, go to cisco.com/go/optics. And now, join me as I talk with Brian Kelly. Speaking of copper, so what are some other differences in terms of the usage of copper versus fiber?
So, you know, this conversation would have been a lot different, say, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, where, you know, copper was used as uplinks, you know, for switch-to-switch connectivity. But truthfully, with the newer data rates, it's almost impossible to use copper uplinks in a data center situation. So most of the use cases for copper are going to be from a top of rack switch down to the servers themselves. Whereas 15, 20 years ago, there were a lot of uplinks that were copper that would run, because you can get 100 meters out of like a 1 gig connection, and you had a lot of 1 gig uplinks that would be in your data center. Now all those are, you know, 10, 40, 100, 400 even now.
So back in the day, you used to have copper trunk cables?
It would be they weren't trunks necessarily. Like, they would probably be run out of a spool or whatever and then terminated. Trunks are actually pre-termed. You would have uplinks that were copper because you could get away with it. The speeds were, you know, only 1 gig generally.
And this would be twisted pair?
Twisted pair, four pair, RJ45.
Okay. Yeah, I guess those.
I know it's like crazy now to think, because like you do not see that at all in a data center. Like, the switches barely have copper on them now.
Yeah,
and unless data center unless switches downlink. Definitely do not. Yeah. Or it's like a console port or something, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Management port.
Okay, cool. So what other common questions do you get?
So a lot of times, you know, we get like the multi-mode fiber versus single-mode fiber. You know, that's a very common question. And, you know, multi-mode fiber is generally used for shorter distances, I guess, would be the easiest way to kind of explain it. And single mode fiber is actually used for much longer reach connectivity. So, for instance, like most of your multi-mode fiber connectivity now, multimode fiber connectivity is basically, you know, 150 meters or less now with the newer, the newer transceivers. Mm-hmm. But single mode can go up to like, I think 40 kilometers, with certain transceivers.
A lot of times when we get questions from the field, sometimes we notice there are people who may not be aware of the difference between like a cable, meaning like a fiber patch cord type cable, versus mm-hmm. a cable, like an active optical cable or a direct attached cable.
Okay. Sure.
Like, do you get that?
Yeah, definitely.
Misunderstanding sometimes from
people? Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess just real simply, I guess you kind of want to define them, like a fiber patch cord is either going to be a two fiber, a duplex fiber, which would be LC, or say 12 or 16 or 24, which would be MPO. And it's a fiber connectivity. So it's, fiber cable with those connectors on the end of it. Both an AOC and a direct attached copper, which are DAC, they call them, DAC. They're basically transceivers that have either fiber for an AOC between them or copper for a DAC in between them. So they call those pluggables. So what you're going to do is it's a cable, but it has a transceiver head on it. So on one end, you're going to plug that transceiver into, say, a server that has a port on it that can accept, say, like a SFP port. And you're going to plug into that SFP port, and then you're going to take that cable, which could, if it's an AOC, it'd be fiber. If it's a DAC, it'll be copper. Runs up to another head with a transceiver on it, and you're going to plug that into, say, a switch. And that's going to provide the connectivity from a switch to a server. And that's the general use case for both active optical cables, which would be fiber, and DAC cables, which are copper. But you could also buy transceivers and then plug in a patch cord in between those. Say you would put a SFP transceiver into the server and then connect in a fiber patch cord, say an LC patch cord, and then run it up to the switch, plug in the SFP transceiver into the switch, and then an LC connection into that transceiver. You could do that as well. So there's really kind of three ways you could do it in a normal data center these days. There used to be a fourth, which would be if you had base T ports, so copper ports, and you could actually plug an RJ45 in to the server and then into the switch. But it's so uncommon now these days. It's really not even something that you would do in the data center. At least you could still potentially do that in the enterprise, but most likely not in the data center.
Yeah, because copper is just in general, it's just becoming less and less common, right?
It is, yeah. For the higher speeds, definitely less and less used, especially in the data center. A lot of the connectivity still, like an enterprise desk or a cubicle, is still RJ45 based copper, but in the data center, it's pretty much gone, except for management ports and stuff like that.
Back to the AOCs and the DACs, more AOCs. Do you find, what are the pros and cons? Because you mentioned you could also just get a transceiver, plug in the fiber. I've heard of things like, you can't pull the AOC through the cable trays because it's got this permanent SFP definitely. Or USFP termination at the end.
Yeah,
it
is if you're going a greater distance than outside of the cabinet, for instance. If you're trying to use any type of structured cabling, you pretty much have to go with the transceiver and fiber option. And the reasoning for that is, the head that's on that transceiver head that's on those cables, both the AOCs and the DACs, is really hard to run through any type of pathway and down into another cabinet. And if you're, you know, it's easy to do one, but if you're doing 30, it becomes really difficult. And it's just something that you probably want to stay away from if you're running any long distance with a lot of cables going in that distance. Just makes it really difficult. So the general use case is going to be for shorter runs to from a lot of times from servers to switches. And that's really going to be the best use case for both AOCs and DACs. When anything that's going multiple cabinets, you really want to run structured cable in between those cabinets and then run a fiber patch cord up to them.
Because structured cable, like you said, is more or less permanent.
Permanent cable, yeah. It's going to definitely replace it. Yeah, you just don't mess with it. Set it and forget it.
Yeah. Cool.
The what was I going to mention? I was going to mention something else. Oh, cost. So, you know, the most cost-effective way to do a short connection is generally a direct attached copper cable, but you're limited on the distance. So, for instance, like I was mentioning, 400 gig, you can really only do a couple meters. Maybe 3 meters. And most other speeds, like you can probably get a maximum about 10 meters out of those connections. And so that's going to affect the distance that you can do them. AOCs can go a little bit longer in that 30 to 50 range of meters. You know, it's not necessarily something that you want to use at that distance, but they are available at those distances. And they're a little bit more expensive than a DAC. And then, you know, generally, when you're buying a transceiver on each end and the fiber in between, that's going to be the least cost-effective way to do it. But it might be the only way that you can do it on longer runs. So that's kind of the hierarchy of cost-to-distance relationship with the DACs and the AOCs and transceivers and cores.
Sorry, the longer runs, you said you might only be able to do transceiver plus fiber because just...
Yeah, if it's over like 50 meters, it's just going to be too difficult to run a AOC and a DAC wouldn't...
Because of the bulky termination?
Yeah, the bulkiness of it. And then also... The fact that you can't really have structured cable in place with either one of those with AOCs or DACs.
Yeah, right.
You know,
when you upgrade
really,
when you upgrade to a new data rate, you got
to replace the whole thing. Yeah.
Actually, didn't you
say... And that is kind of the...
Wait. Was it you that told me that people don't actually replace the AOCs if they're that long? They just clip off the ends?
A lot of times that's with the fiber. So like if there's fiber that... Well, and AOCs too, if they're run in fiber runners, in fiber trays, like a lot of times they'll just clip off the ends and leave them and then just run new cables in there just because they don't want to have any confusion about which AOC is usable. And a lot of times with fiber connectivity too, like I know in a lot of multi-tenant data centers or co-locations, like they will not pull out any of the fiber that are in the trays. They'll just clip them because it's too risky to just move cables that are active, that are passing traffic. They'll just actually cut them off and leave them in the tray and just buy a whole nother tray to put them into.
I see. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you think about it, some of these co-locations are running multi-million dollar businesses. Downtime is, so expensive. So it'd be really tough to even think about doing any type of, pulling of these cables out. Because if you pull the wrong one and you take somebody down, oh my God. Yeah, it would be terrible.
Yeah. One other thing about the DAC, the direct attached copper, I've heard is... the copper cable, the cabling itself, the Twinax cable, is much, much thicker and rigid.
Yeah, it's very bulky.
So
yeah, especially at the higher
consideration you see.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, yeah. The direct attached copper cables, especially at 100 and 400, is heavy gauge, and it's two factor. One, it's rigid to kind of run and cable manage. And two, there's a weight factor to it. You know, a lot of times, like, people don't realize, like, when you have, say, 35 or 40 of these cables running in your cabinet, it puts in a tremendous amount of stress on the cable management fingers that you may have in your cabinet, because the weight of these cables is a lot more than you're generally used to, say, with like RJ45 connectivity, you know, twisted pair connectivity.
I see. Hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, and fiber obviously is very, very light. Yeah. You know, the AOCs are a little bit heavier than just like a fiber patch cord, but not bad. So you really don't have that, both the rigidity and the weight issue that you might have with direct attached copper. So it's just like, there's all kinds of things you got to take into consideration when you're thinking about it. This is the magic that happens between the transceivers, you know?
Exactly. There's so many options, and I can see it being pretty overwhelming having to
navigate
these options. Okay. So one other thing that just makes it even harder.
That was the second part of my conversation with Brian Kelly. Next time we'll get into fiber insertion loss. Subscribe to this podcast, and we'd really appreciate you helping to get the word out and share this with friends and colleagues that come to mind when you think of network technology and optics. And leave a review on Apple Podcast, formerly known as iTunes. We're also on all the other major podcast platforms. You may see the Cisco Podcast Network come up when you search for Cisco Optics Podcast. That's where we live, and you can find other great podcasts there too. Also, check out the Cisco Optics blogs at blogs.cisco.com and search on hashtag Cisco Optics blog, no spaces and no hyphens. We also have educational videos on YouTube. Just go to youtube.com and search on Cisco Optics. Thank you for listening. This is Pat Chow, product manager at Cisco Optics. The next episode is part 3 of my conversation with Brian Kelly. Until next time,